To say,
One thing, holy
I
moly.
had one thing to say. Your excellent spirit was on display today.
Thank you, Mark. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for this word today, Larry. I don't look at you, and I cannot believe that no one can look at you as a weaker brother or small brother or something, because that is not possible in the spirit of God. You are a precious brother. And that is according to the Spirit of God. And because when we are in the Spirit of God, we never put no one down. We lift one another up. So, and you all are a precious brothers. There was quite many things that you spoke about that really touched my mind. And like in like when you were speaking about the compromise spirit, oh, how it is necessary for us to be hit by it, to learn about it, to go through it and discern about it, to have a victory over it. We know that the story of Saul and David is a quite amazing story. And when I was first saved and when I started to read the story, oh, it was quite amazing story. And then I started to see that the story was quite special. It was speaking about two men that was watching, and one was obeying, but other not. But when I start to read this story today, I see the story of the wedding feast, brethren. I see the story of two person that is affected by the anointing of God. I see the story that happened when the anointing of God comes upon people, and we call that wedding feast. It is a wedding feast when the Spirit of God starts to move and change us. And this story of these two men was under the anointing of God. One was changing and loved by God, but the other was rebelling and not obeying. He was coming forth in a compromised spirit. Compromised spirit when he saved the king of Amalek. And that compromise came forth in the book of Esther because Haman was of the root of Amalek. Haman had an Amalek spirit within him. So they rose up again there because of the compromise of the soul. But this story about David and Saul, we see that Saul, he was op not obeying God. And that is the same things that we see in the wedding feast when Jesus said, friend, who how are you not in the wedding dress? And it means that he had not put on a new covering. He had still his covering. He was still in his own clothes. He had not changed. That is why someone that is coming into the wedding today, if they are not changing, they refuse to change, they rebel against the changing, they will be outsiders. It is not according to what I want to think, it's according to what the word of God speaks to us. And Saul, who he could not win. Even though those time when he was dealing with Dave, that there was sometimes the anointing was still talking in him, even though he was refusing to obey. One time the anointing came forth and spoke in Saul, and he said, "Is it Is it you, my son, Dave? Dave was not son of Saul. It was not a voice of Saul that came forth when he said, is it you, my son, David? It was the anointing of God that was speaking in him. But even though this anointing that was of God that was speaking in him, Saul was refusing it. And he could not end in other way. Jonathan had a spirit of compromise. He was really, really going on with Dave. He was his friend. And we know that our king, he says to us that he don't call us a servant anymore because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but he calls us friend because friends know one another. They know what they are doing. So Jonathan was causing Dave to be his friend. They were working together as a friend. But it was not enough for him. He had also a root to his father. He had a compromise. We see even in the time of Joshua, when they came into the promised land, Joshua had to face these things. He said in one place, I think it's in when he met the captain of the host. What did Joshua ask him? He said, are you with us or are you with them? Because he was not sure about it. He was asking the captain of the host, who are you with? Are you with us or them? And the captain of the host said, no, I am with the captain, with the host. So this was speaking to me that when we come into the heavenly realm of God, when we start to receive the power from the height, there is no compromise. The captain of the host was not coming to be with Joshua. He was not going to be with the people in Canaan, but Joshua was going to come and be with him. It was not that captain of the host want to come and be with Joshua. He was really inviting Joshua to be with him in the battle. And when God invites you to go in the battle that is his, he have already won the battle. What are our place in the battle then? It is to go out and win the battle to rejoice with him. He had already put it on place that they would win. So there was quite many things that you really was speaking about that spoke to me, Larry. And we can give all of us that is here, we can give this testimony that when we got saved, we become a living soul. And we are a living soul. That is what he said to Adam. Adam was a living soul, but it was not enough. He wanted to go on and be something more than that. So he said the second Adam was a quickening spirit. And that is what it means. When we are a living soul, we become a new Jerusalem. We become a Jerusalem. And that is what Jesus said to them, wait in the Jerusalem until you get the power from the height. It means that wait in that place that you are in until you become a quickening spirit in this time. And that is going to unite us in a quite special way. I remember when I had a vision one time and I saw the host of heaven. I saw even my brethren that had been walking with us. I saw them in heaven. I saw that they were still in the ministry. And I thought it was quite amazing, because when someone was praying and someone was going out in the ministry, they were like a cloud flowing with them. And even if it was in United States, they were with them there. And even if it was in Japan, they were with them there. There was no time and space soon in that spirit. They moved in the spirit in a very special way that I could not understand. But they were moving in the ministry. And it was a connection and a unity that I was looking at. And I was looking at it, I saw that this person that was rising up in this unity in Japan or in Russia or in Norway or in United States or in Brazil, when they were rising up, they knew about one another. Even when they were in Africa, all these brethren was aware of one another. They were connecting in the spirit in a special way that they could even know about one another. They could see what was happening and facing in their own life. And I believe, brethren, we are at that door. We are at that door that God will spoke to me and show me if there is something that is coming against you and you are in trouble with, I will come into your part and you will go with me into my part. So what a day we have before us. So Larry, I'm blessed with this word today. Bless you, my dear brother. Amen.
Amen, brethren.
Amen.
Please, sorry, I need a little clarity on the issue of Sabbath that our brother raised. Thank you.
Sorry, permit me, brethren, to respond to our brother's request of the clarity. What I was receiving while the brother was speaking about the issue, I think he's not presenting that issue as a doctrine for us to all follow. And that's why, in closing, he said we should just accept him. Maybe as a weak brother, because that's actually what Paul was saying. There's a part of it in Romans. There's another part in Corinthians. So, sometimes when I hear Bro Mark, you know, speaking and making reference to brethren that he had been with before, in while coming up as a Christian, he used to mention the name Mennonite Church and all of that. I like the comment he makes about them. Say they are nice brethren, washed by the blood, loving Jesus. You know, they are doing, you know, what they understand best to do in their own way. So most of the time, when I hear Brahma making such comment, there is nothing negative about, apart from the fact that, you know, they, according to the understanding, they keep laws. They believe that some of these, you know, outward keeping of, you know, things, observing things, don'ts and do's, you know, that, you know, will help them do God's work better. Well, Paul was saying that some people, they have, you know, an outward show, you know, but for us who have got the revelation that, you know, we can do much better in Christ without having to do all these rigorous things because of the liberty God has given to us. You know, so I want to believe also that in that respect is what Bro Larry was saying about his personal you know, understanding of observing that day. And he is also saying that it's not because Exodus 20 stated that thou shalt keep the Sabbath day holy, but he's making reference to Genesis 1, when after, you know, the Lord had made everything, okay, is it chapter 2 now? He rested on the seventh day and blessed it. You know, so he is just feeling as a believer that he wants to just also observe that day in honor of his creator. And that you can, that's why I said that it's not a either or. So you can even take both. And of course, we have been listening every time that the day we are using to worship, like this today being Sunday, it's not because Sunday is a holy day or special day. It is because we have chosen to just, you know, meet together, bless ourselves, share fellowship together. So every day you choose in the week to observe and to honor God is acceptable. You know, so for that reason, I don't believe that it is an issue to begin to say, oh, so it's Sabbath day, we are going to keep. No, we are not keeping this. The Lord has taken us beyond that. But for him, he says that he has the liberty. He's not doing it as a law. It's not, for Israel, it's a law, because there are days you can, there are journeys you can't make on the Sabbath day. You know, a length of journey you cannot go on a Sabbath day. Their own is a law, it's a bondage. If you cannot, you cannot. You know, but for our brothers, I listen to him, he is not keeping it as a law. He is having the liberty in Christ. He has already got the real Sabbath in Christ, but he also wants to go back to that Genesis and, you know, keep that day just to, you know, in memory of what God did, creating the whole creation in 6 days, and in the seventh day he rested. And he just wants to observe also that day that, okay, let me just give it unto the Lord and share fellowship with God and, you know, be with God. And it is also not very bad, if not that the economy and the creation of man, brethren, this system we are following is created by men. Calendar or work system, okay, work from Monday to Friday, and all of these ones are created and handed to us by men. You know, so if you are working and you also choose that Saturday to just rest in your house and, you know, just observe, pray, read your Bible, you know, be in fellowship with God, rest, it is also good for your body. It is also part of this rat race of pursuing ends to meet that makes us busy all day. Like today, we are here. We are not in the first place, we are not in the office. There's a lot of things that are also in the physical. And I also think that the Sabbath was also for their good, because all the law that God gave to them, especially the issue of the social laws and some of those other laws, you know, you go to the toilet, dig the ground and bury, you know, the issue of, you know, so those ones were also for the good of Israel. So I believe that some of these things are also for our benefit, if not that, you know, we are trying to, you know, run the rat race to make ends meet. So we want to work all day and see how we can meet up. So it is also beneficial to the flesh that you separate Saturday after working from Monday to Friday and say, let me just rest with my family, have time to pray together. If there's a place to go visit after, you know, we are finished praying, you just go visit and come back. It is all and good. You know, so I believe that our brother was not, you know, forwarding the doctrine for us about Sabbath. So, but if you are on the aspect of, oh, let's keep this one aside, let's not, you know, begin to touch this one, it will create a lot of bondage and encumbrances, is also okay. And Paul will say, let him that observe the day observe it unto the Lord, and let him that does not observe it also not observe it unto the Lord. So I think that is what I, you know, received when Bro Larry was mentioning about the Sabbath. Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I want to say one little thing about the Sabbath. In the beginning, when God, you know, said God rested from his work. So in today, most people take that as resting from our work, as in what you do for a living. But that's not what it is, really. It's to rest from your works. And let's put actually a different word on it. A rest from doing your thing. We are to rest from doing our thing and doing God's thing. And so what a beautiful thing to take a day and rest from doing your thing and just give it to God that day. So that's really what the Sabbath is all about. And there's no problem whatsoever with you taking a day. It doesn't have to be any certain day of the week or whatever. And actually, we're supposed to always be resting from doing our thing, which we don't live up to that real great. But that's what it is. The Sabbath is to rest from doing your thing. And a lot of us do our thing most of the time. Amen.
Yeah, I always love this word about rest and resting. In Songs of Solomon, we see this beautiful rest. Songs of Solomon, chapter 5 and verse 2. And the bride is speaking, and she said, I slept. She was resting. But she said, but my heart waked. Her heart was waked, and she was looking after the bridegroom. And she had come into the rest. She was sleeping, but her heart was awake, seeking, waiting. So, amen.
Mark, I still remember the story that you told about, I don't know if it was your aunt or whomever that came into a gathering of your family members. And I think she went up to you and pointed her finger at you and says, are you keeping your calling and election sure? Is your calling and election sure? You remember that? You must remember.
That was a funeral, Larry.
Okay, well, whatever.
That was Aunt Esther. It was my mother's sister. And she came to me and she said, Mark, have you made your calling and election sure? And I said, yes, Aunt Esther, I believe I have. Then she mentioned my two older brothers, Paul and Howard. What have they? I said, well, you must go ask them.
That's right.
Where are they? They're in the other room. And she went right after them. I don't know what she said because they were in the other room. But I believe in the end, they did make their calling and election.
I always, every time I think about that, it makes me laugh, you know, because I can just picture a woman, an elderly woman, going up to people right in their face and asking them that question, you know, and I'm thinking, man, you know, that's the way we're supposed to be. We should challenge people in the body of Christ and certainly in the world, ask them about, you know, have they met Jesus yet? And, you know, preach the gospel to them, you know. And again, I just think sometimes we're a little fearful to do that.
Well, but she was the evangelist of my mother's family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I went to visit her one time in Ohio, and she got out a whole pile of tracts that she wanted to give me. So I know that she was a busy woman. And she was outspoken. She wasn't offended to, or wasn't afraid to say what she had on her mind. And you know, it was how many years ago did Paul die? What was it? 2019, 5 years ago. My brother Paul, who was one of those that she said, "What about your older brothers?" We had his funeral here in Lowville, and I went down to the basement, and the pastor and his oldest son, my nephew Bruce, was down there. They were kind of making arrangement for the funeral. And I said, "Brethren, I have a little word I'd like to bring at my brother's funeral here." And to my surprise, the pastor looked at me, he looked at Bruce, and they nodded their head. And then he looked at me and he said, "Well, try to take at least a half hour." Can you imagine somebody saying that to me? And I brought the story of Aunt Esther, and I told them, I said, "You know, everybody, this is my brother's funeral." I said, "You're all going to be here one day." And I said, "You need to be asking this question." Well, apparently I shook a lot of things up, but you know what? Somebody told me that all of my brother's family, some of the nephews and great nephews and whatnot that I didn't even know who they were. But they said they were nodding their head. And so I know that I said, "Aunt Esther isn't here anymore. And I'm not really the evangelist, I'm the teacher. But today I'm gonna have to be the evangelist." So didn't Paul say to Timothy, "Do the work of an evangelist"?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say that to Timothy? Now maybe Timothy wasn't an evangelist, but he was told, "You have to do the work of an evangelist sometimes. If there's no evangelist here, then you have to do it." Amen.
But in truth, aren't we all called to be evangelists?
Sure.
I mean, if you read the last things that Jesus said before leaving the earth and even coming back in the book of Acts, when he returned, his instructions were, you know, for each of us to preach the gospel and go forth and baptize, you know, people in the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and especially preach the gospel. And maybe that's what God is calling some of you to do, that you're holding back from sharing Jesus with someone you work with, or you know, family member, who knows. But if God's calling you to do that, that means you alone, they will listen to. You are the most important person at that time to share the Lord with that other person. You know, a lot of times I find people won't receive it from another family member, but they'll listen to a stranger. You know, they'll listen to someone outside of the family sharing the gospel with them. So, like I say, it could be a worker, it could be a neighbor, you know, someone that maybe you don't really get along with. And, you know, and the last person you'll want to go and share Christ with, and God's telling you to do it. You know, God doesn't always ask us to do the easy thing, you know, but the thing is that when you're sharing the gospel, you never fail. If they come, if they listen to you and they accept the Lord, you've succeeded. If they don't want to hear it and they walk away, not accepting God, you're still successful. So, damn, just do what God's called you to do and trust. Amen.
Well, thank you, Larry, for bringing this word today, and we will call it running the race, because that's what the message really, what I heard. So we'll stop the recording now.
I want to say something, please, before we close.
Okay.
Just a little contribution on the matter of the Sabbath that we've just had. Our brother Larry, when he was concluding, he actually said we should not throw him out. You know, I believe that that shouldn't be the case at all, because we all keep the Sabbath. Actually, keeping the Sabbath is not a physical thing. It's relying and depending on the Lord Jesus Christ. So every believer keeps the Sabbath. That's by going into the rest of the Lord Jesus Christ, where you do not take your decisions anymore. That whatever you do is what you know that will please the Lord Jesus Christ. That is Sabbath. So we all keep the Sabbath, not the way the world understands it. So I believe that there shouldn't be even any apology to us to throw our brother. No, I believe what he meant is drawing our attention to the fact that at this time, we must hold on to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the divine power of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might obtain mercy and find help at this time of great distress. So Sabbath is our lifestyle, depending and trusting the Lord Jesus Christ each day we live. So we are keepers of Sabbath. Praise God.